الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. لقد جاءت رسل ربنا بالحق. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي. يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. واستغفر الله إن الله كان غفورا رحيما. وقال تعالى: إن الله يحب التوابين ويحب المتطهرين. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: كل بني آدم خطاء وخير الخطائين التوابون. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام: إن الله يقبل توبة العبد ما لم يغرغر. وقال ابن مسعود: الندم توبة، والتائب من الذنب كمن لا ذنب له. وقال تعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا توبوا إلى الله توبة نصوحة، عسى ربكم أن يكفر عنكم من سيئاتكم ويدخلكم جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار يوم لا يخزي الله النبي والذين آمنوا معه، نورهم يسعى بين أيديهم وبأيمانهم يقولون ربنا أتمم لنا نورنا واغفر لنا إنك على كل شيء قدير. أو كما قال الله تبارك وتعالى. Respected elders, brothers, scholars and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Alhamdulillah, it's a great blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, jalla jalaluhu, amma nawaluhu, jalasanahu. He's enabled every one of us to gather here so that we can please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and cultivate a worry and concern as to how each and every one of us until the day of judgment can be saved from the eternal doom and destruction of the life hereafter. And also so that every one of us can fulfill the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by means of conducting the Friday prayer today. These are all blessings and gifts from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we should always be thankful for them. لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ وَلَإِن كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ. If we're thankful to Allah for the ni'mat that He has bestowed upon us, then Allah will increase the intensity of that benefit and gift. And if we do not, and we are ungrateful, وَلَإِن كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ, He will involve us in severe trials and tribulations. May Allah save us from this. Humble request: أَقِيمُ الصَّفَ الْأَوَّلِ فِي الْأَوَّلِ. Please fill in the gaps in the front rows first, if we sit, inshallah, in the saf. Today I'd like to talk about repentance, seeking tawbah and forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In one of my past sermons, I looked at how to forgive others, having the ability to forgive others as human beings. And we looked at some detail as to how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he forgave one of the biggest enemies of Allah and Rasul, and that was Rahshi bin Harab, as he was the one who mutilated and assassinated the beloved uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Hazrat Hamza, asadullahi wa asadu rasuli, in one of my past sermons, alhamdulillah. Today we're talking about and discussing and reminding each other about how to seek forgiveness and do tawbah. From the hadith that we just narrated before you, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that, he has stated that kullukum khata'un, every human being, other than the prophets, they're all sinners, every one of us. Whether we know it or we don't know it. Whether we accept it or we don't accept it. But the best amongst us sinners are those who regularly seek repentance and do tawbah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, He says, وَاسْتَغْفِرِ اللَّهِ, seek the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, without a doubt, He is most oft forgiving and most merciful. The question is, who is the one who has the right to forgive? Any one of us? We are full of blemishes. We have imperfections. We have faults. We commit sins ourselves. It has to be a being that is free of all blemishes. Subhanallah, عدد ما خلق الله. Subhanallah wa bihamdi. Subhanallah al-azim wa bihamdi. When we say Subhanallah, we have to learn to meditate and contemplate on this important aspect, that Allah is free from all blemishes. We are full of blemishes. Allah is free from all imperfections. We are full of imperfections. That is why we glorify Allah. And this is a summary of Subhanallah. Subhanallah is a huge ocean. When we learn to say Subhanallah correctly, then we will connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today we have not learned how to say Subhanallah correctly, whilst we concentrate on the meanings. Because Allah is free from all blemishes, He's free from all imperfections, He's free from all faults. Only that being can forgive us who is free from all of these imperfections and faults and blemishes. And that is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is the reason why we ask Allah for forgiveness and we do tawbah. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the hadith, he said to the nearest meaning that the one who recites this, Allahumma maghfiratuka awsa'u min dhunubi wa rahmatuka arja'u 'indi min 'amali, three times, then all of his past sins are forgiven. Oh Allah, your forgiveness is much greater in intensity than all of my sins. Much vaster than all of my sins. Allahumma maghfiratuka awsa'u min dhunubi wa rahmatuka arja'u 'indi min 'amali. And your mercy is far greater than all of my good actions. When we usher this, and in fact one sahabi, he recited this once. Prophet ﷺ said, say it again. He recited this again. He said, say it again. So when he recited it three times, Prophet ﷺ said that all of your past sins have been forgiven. But tawbah is based on conviction, the ability to revert back to the path of righteousness, is to eliminate the passion and the will and the desire to perform that evil act or that wrongdoing. That is what tawbah is all about. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, tubu ila Allahi tawbatan nasuha. O ye who believe, seek repentance from Allah in a pure form, form that is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. MashaAllah, the Arabic linguist amongst you will understand the word nasuh has many meanings, but I'm going to just contemplate and work on two or three of them. Firstly, it means to revert back to the path of righteousness. We were off the track and we came back onto the track. That's the first meaning. And that's clear, and I don't need to go into that much detail. The second meaning is that if there is a gap, nasuh or nasahat, it signifies that gap is actually enclosed. The gap is filled in. It's consolidated. In other words, the sin and the wrongdoing that we have done has caused a gap between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our Creator. Therefore now we have to fill that gap in. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, Tubu ila Allahi tawbatan nasuha. And another meaning is, nasahat means to sow. As the ladies often, and even some of the gents, they do. In Urdu we say, rafu karna. You know, it's like a loop, lock, or a knot that is done. But the mufassirin of this hadith, they say that sometimes there are the real experts, people who can sew in such a way that the tear in the clothing is eliminated and sewn, patched together in such a way that you cannot even see the mark or the graze of that tear in the first place. And that is signified by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that when a person seeks repentance and does tawbatun nasuh, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala eliminates even the mark that sin was ever committed by us in the first place. That is what is requested from us when we say tawbatun nasuh. Asa rabbukum an yukaffira ankum min sayyatikum wa yadkhilakum jannatin tajri min tahtiha al-anhar. When we do this, all of our past sins will be forgiven. And we will be made to enter in such paradises beneath which streams will be flowing. وَأُدْخِلَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهِمْ فِيهَا سَلَامٌ. This is the reverence and honor that Allah will bestow to his believers as they enter into the paradises on the day of judgment, having been purified or being guarded from the fire of hell. They will have reached eternal success. So tawbatun nasuh, seeking repentance, is an ongoing effort that every one of us must conduct until our last breath. To be aware that we have committed a wrongdoing. That is the important thing today. Today we feel, what have I done wrong in my life, we say. I'll give you an example. Committing a small sin is like the ocean or the sea. And committing a big sin, so a small sin is known as saghira or saghair. And a big sin is known as kabira or kabair. And the example I'm giving in relative terms is, the small sin is like the ocean. And the big sin is like the sky. Now, you tell me, by comparison, how vast and big is the sky as compared to the sea? Come on, tell me. It's huge, isn't it? The sky is very vast and huge. And the sea is a little percentage. It's like a dot, isn't it? It's a drop. Do you all agree? Or is there anyone who disagrees with me? Everyone agrees, of course. I assume a silence as being positive. Because it's a sermon. Absolutely right. But you cannot put the ocean and fit it into a jug, can you? You can't do that, can you? Why? Because in its own right, the volume of the ocean and the sea is quite large as well. But compared to the sky, it is very trivial. In the same way, a saghira guna, a small sin, in its own right is huge. But compared to a kabira sin, it is very small. That is the terminology. People say, oh, it's trivial. Breaking a sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on occasion is a small sin. But let me tell you one thing else. If you repeatedly, knowingly commit a small sin or break a sunnah repeatedly, regularly, consistently, that becomes a kabira guna. That becomes a major sin. And that is something that we are unaware of. May Allah forgive us. We must do tawbah for this. To repeatedly break a sunnah or to continuously do a small sin, knowing that it's a wrong sin, repeatedly, all the way through our lives. This is a small sin, it's no problem. To do it repeatedly, knowingly, that becomes a major sin. So we have to implement tawbah in our lives on a regular basis. In the other hadith that I presented before you, an-nadamu tawbatun, to feel remorse, Prophet is saying in the hadith of the Nasmini, to feel remorse and regret is also part of seeking repentance itself. To acknowledge and accept that I've done something wrong is also part of it. To feel the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I will be trialed or questioned of this, that is part of repentance. That is on the path of repentance. And that itself is also an action that will be loved by Allah on the Day of Judgment. In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he explained that there was this man in Bani Israel. This hadith is from Bukhari Sharif, to the nearest meaning. And I'm just presenting the last part of the hadith. Hadith number 659. And Hazrat Huzaifa radiallahu anhu, he says to the nearest meaning, the Prophet he said to the nearest meaning, that there was a man in Bani Israel and he had a very bad job, dark job. I'm explaining the hadith to the nearest meaning, the mafhum. His job, and it was his own occupation, was that when a person used to die and he used to get buried, after everybody had walked away, he would go and dig the grave up. And he would then take the shroud and release that dead body from the shroud and take that shroud and use that as his means of business. He was a very bad person. I don't think anybody could commit a bigger sin than this. And he did this for many years. Many, many years. A man from Bani Israel. And having done this, he became very wealthy. It was destined for him to acquire wealth. It is his choice to acquire it from the lawful means or acquire it from the unlawful means. That is the choice that we have. So he became very wealthy. And on his deathbed, I'm just giving you the gist of the hadith. On his deathbed, he asked his two sons to come forward. And they came. And he asked them, he said, my children, tell me, I'm in my last throes. What kind of a father have I been for you? And the children, out of the love for the father, regardless of his profession, they said, you have been a wonderful father for us. You've changed our future. We've become very wealthy. We have everything that we need. We live with high status. So the father, he said, if you truly believe that I have been a good father to you, then you must fulfill my last wish. And they said, we promise with all of our heart. He then said, as soon as I die, I want you to take my body, cut lots of wood, and place my body on the wood, and then burn the wood, bring it to light, and completely ignite my body, and cremate my body, and burn it until all of the meat and the flesh has been burnt, and then crush the bones, and form the ashes, and both of you, half of you take the ashes, and throwing it into the forest, and let it go into the air, and the other half take it into the ocean, and bury it, and drown it into the oceans. The children, they said, we cannot do this. The father, he said, if you truly believe that I'm a good father, and you want to fulfill my last wish, then you must do this. Promise me. And they said, well, we don't like this, but we have no choice if that is what you wish. It is said that that is exactly what has happened. Prophet ﷺ in the hadith, he says to the nearest meaning, that on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will gather all of the particles of this human being from the ashes in the sea and from the particles in the forest and gather them together and then reform the bones and reform the flesh and have that person stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his original form before he died. And then he will ask him, why did you do this? Why did you do this? This is Sahih Hadith. It's not a story. It actually happened. And it's projecting from the, it's going from the past and projecting straight into the future. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can do this. He will say, oh Allah, I had been engaged in such bad activities, such forbidden and lewd activities, that I used to steal the shrouds from the graves. That I knew that if I had been captured in your grasp, then there would be no way, no means of my salvation on this day. And I thought I would eliminate all forms of proof of my existence. But I now know that I cannot do this. And I'm standing before you because you are all-powering. You have power of everything. But I feared your punishment, O Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will say on that day that although you engaged in the worst actions and the worst crimes, but because you had the fear of my punishment, I now forgive you and command the angels to take you into paradise. So we see that this small word, another mutawbatun, to have the remorse of a sin is also in the path of seeking repentance and doing tawbah. May Allah give every one of us a tawfiq to reach the level of tawbatun nasuh. Say ameen. That is the power of tawbatun nasuh. That is the power of tawbatun nasuh. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he gave the example of a person who had been traveling in the deserts. He reached a point where he took a break, and suddenly his camel laden with all of the goods, and now he turned around in the middle of the desert. He had nothing. He could see nothing, and he sat there. All of his food, sustenance and water was all there on the camel. It had vanished. And first hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, 7 or 8 hours later, intense blazing heat, thirst and hunger overpowering him, and now he's thinking he's going to die now. And as he drops off and wakes up again, drops off, wakes up again, he suddenly sees, he thinks a mirage, but as it gets closer, he sees that it is the silhouette of his camel laden with all of its goods and provisions that he had lost so many hours ago. And he quickly gets up. He doesn't have the strength to get up. Walks forward and he sees that it is camel. Prophet ﷺ is saying to the nearest meaning, how much happy will this person be? The farha, you know? How much happiness he will experience? His life is saved. He's got everything back. All of his belongings back. That he now sees that everything is brought back to him. And you know, and the ulama and the fuqaha, they explain in this. And they said that at this point, he thanks Allah. And he says, oh Allah, I am your God, na'uzubillah, and you are my servant, na'uzubillah. This comes out of his heart in intense happiness. He says it the wrong way around. What should he say? He should say, oh Allah, you are my creator, and I am your servant, and I love you. But he says it the other way around, because he's so excited that he's got everything that he had lost, and it's brought back to him, you know? That's the amount of passion and pleasure that he's experiencing. Prophet ﷺ says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more happier, many times more happier, when one of his disobedient servants does tawbah and reverts back to the path of righteousness to Allah. That is how much Allah loves us. And he's in waiting for whenever we do tawbah and seek repentance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will be waiting. He'll be waiting. And he will. That is why it is said that when a person, he walks towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the mercy of Allah runs towards him. It flies towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It runs before. So doing tawbah, respected elders and brothers in Islam, has one important aspect. And that is that if we have done something, some wrongdoing with another human being, I've been talking today more about our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and how to establish that. And I gave one example of one dua from the hadith is Allahumma maghfiratuk awsa'u min zunubi wa rahmatuk arja'inni min amli. We should recite it 3 times. There's also Sayyidul Istighfar. اللهم تربي لا إله إلا أنت خلقتني وأنا عبدك وأنا على عهدك ووعدك ما استطعت أعوذ بك من شر ما صنعت أبو لك بنعمتك علي وأبو بذنبي فاغفر لي فإنه لا يغفر الذنوب إلا أنت. The hadith is set to the nearest meaning that when a person recites it 3 times in the morning, and if he was to die, then he would die as a martyr, slain in a holy war, and all of his sins would be forgiven. And if he recited it 3 times in the evening and he died that night, then he will be raised as a martyr. So it's very valuable and very powerful. Or the smaller istighfar, Astaghfirullah alladhi la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum wa atubu ilayh. We recite 3 times, and there is great reverence for a person who recites this after Salatul Fajr and after Salatul Asr. These are special times in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the repentance and tawbah that has been based upon our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is the one who is oft forgiving. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, إِلَّا مَنْ تَابْ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا فَأُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتٍ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. When we do repentance to the nearest meaning, and we believe in Allah, have faith, وَعَمِلَ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا, do good actions, فَأُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتٍ. For verily, for such person, Allah ta'ala converts his bad deeds into good deeds, converts his wrongdoings into good deeds. He was in debt, and now he's in that much in credit. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. So this is the power of tawbah. And tawbah, it brings close the sustenance and the rizq. The person, he's poverty stricken. إِنْ خِفْتُمْ عَيْلَةً فَسَوْفَ يُغْنِيَهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ إِنْ شَاءَ. Then in the near future, فَسَوْفَ يُغْنِي. سَوْفَ is مُسْتَقْبِلْ خَرِيب, as you all know. مُسْتَقْبِلْ خَرِيب, not مُسْتَقْبِلْ بَعِيد. مُسْتَقْبِلْ خَرِيب means very in the near future. But the rule is, we must seek repentance and engage in istighfar. It is said in a hadith to the nearest meaning, that until there are people in one community where in the dead of the night they get up and they cry over their sins, their past wrongdoings, and do tawbah and istighfar, then the punishment of Allah, even if it comes down that close, it goes back again, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he does sharam and haya because of the people who are engaged in crying over their sins. This is an important quality. It is said, scientists, they say, that if we cry, it makes our hearts stronger. Today, you know, it's a macho thing to say that, oh, I can never show my emotion in any way. No. For a believer, man or woman, it is important that we learn to cry over our past sins. It's a very important quality of a believer, and it strengthens us. It's a mark of a true man, is to cry over one's sins, but not in front of someone else. Yes. The point that I want to make now is, if we have been involved in some transaction with another person, we have done wrongdoing with him. Prophet ﷺ in the hadith, he has said that if you have done some injustice with a person, and inshallah you will hear this hadith in the rest of my sermon, inshallah, it's going to be the last hadith, and he says that مَنْ كَانَتْ لَهُ مَزْلِمَةٌ لِأَخِيهِ مِنْ عِرْضِهِ أَوْ شَيْءٍ فَلَا يَتَحَلَّلْهُ مِنْهُ الْيَوْمَ قَبْلَ أَلَّا يَكُونَ دِينَارٌ وَلَا دِرْهَمٌ. And the rest of the hadith. That resolve your issues. Go and seek forgiveness from this person before the time comes when you stand before Allah on the Day of Judgment, there you will not be able to use dirham, gold coins, or your wealth. But the only currency there will be good actions and a'mal salihah and good deeds, hasanat. And then you will have to compensate that person with respect to the currency of that occasion. And I want to just finish off today with one hadith of Rasulullah SAW, in which he asked the Sahaba Ikram, "Oh my Sahaba, tell me, who is a pauper, a muflis?" Sahaba, they said, it's a person who doesn't have good things to eat, he doesn't have good clothes to wear, he doesn't have good provision, he doesn't have shelter to live under. And if somebody was to ask, if he was to go and ask for somebody's daughter's hand in marriage, he wouldn't get it. He has nothing in this world. He is a failure. Prophet ﷺ said, no, you don't know the meaning of the word muflis or pauper. I will tell you. And a hadith to the Nurse, he said, on the Day of Judgment there will be a person who will have mountains and mountains of good deeds stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will feel that now I'm at the point where I will attain eternal success and salvation, and I will be made to enter paradise. Then one person will come in the arena of Hashr before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he will plead and say, "Oh Allah, such and such a person, son of such and such, such person, has wronged me in this world in the past life. Please perform justice." So it is said that this person, he will have mountains of good deeds. Good deeds with respect to the proportion of the wrongdoing that has been done with this person will be, you could say, debited from his account. I have to use the right words here so that you all understand. Automatically they will be reduced from his balance, and they will go into this person's balance. Allah will say, "Are you happy now that you have got the justice done?" He will say yes. He will go away. Then there will be another person. This time he had sworn at him. Another person will come, he had disgraced him in public. Another person will come, he had actually used lewd words with him. Another person, he actually hit him. And there will be a queue of people queuing up, and eventually he will keep on giving his good deeds, one after the other, one after the other. And now his mountains of good deeds will vanish, and he has no more good deeds. But there will still be a queue of people who require justice to be served. And Allah Ta'ala will say, how will you compensate? He has, "I have no more good deeds now, I have nothing to give." Allah will then say, "But today is the day of justice. And now, this person's bad deeds will be transferred onto this person. He had no good deeds. Now, his bad deeds will be transferred onto him. This person went, then his bad deeds transferred. This person's bad deeds. In the right measure." And eventually, all of the people, the queue, they will have gone. And this person will now have mountains of bad deeds in his account. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to the angels, "Drag him head first and throw him in the fire of hell." And Prophet ﷺ said to the Sahaba that this person is the real pauper who stood before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with mountains of good deeds and ended up with mountains of bad deeds. So brothers and respected elders in Islam, please resolve the issue before you leave this world now. It's not worth it to take it on the Day of Judgment. Even if you think you are in the right, resolve it now. Seek forgiveness. Shake hands. Talk to your brothers or your sisters or your family members or your father or your parents or whoever you have broken away with for so many years. For small reasons we break our ties. We don't realize on the Day of Judgment we'll have to compensate heavily on the Day of Judgment with our good deeds. And we will need those good deeds. Time is running out, but this is a very important topic, and every one of us are involved in this. We think that, "Oh, I have lots of blessings, hasanat." But on the day of judgment, there will be one person who will be short by one blessing, and he will need the weight of that one blessing. He will go to his father, mother, or everyone, and they will say, "No, today we cannot give you. We cannot help you." And he'll eventually be caught up by one person who has one good deed only. That's all he has. And he will say, "What's your problem?" And he'll explain. He'll say, "I've only got one good deed. It's no good to me. You take it." And he'll automatically transfer from his account into his account. He'll go back to Allah. Allah knows everything. He'll say, "What happened?" He said, "This person, today, he gave me." Allah Ta'ala would say, "Bring him here quickly." Allah Ta'ala would say, "Today, on this day, when you are in crisis, today You are showing mercy and kindness, which is my quality. Allah Ta'ala is saying to this person, go in paradise, and you also go in paradise. This is the power of one blessing, brothers. So don't think that just because you have a small blessing, it's nominal, it's meaningless. No. The small blessings can be the most powerful sometimes. Moving something from the path, I'll give you an example. I was driving on a road once, and there was a bin in the middle. I stopped the car, my door was open. Suddenly the cars behind me, they stopped. I picked it up and pushed it onto the pavement. And suddenly everybody, you know, there was a sudden sort of a crowd there. But I didn't do it to show anybody, but the reason being that, say for example, there was a cyclist who didn't see, and he swerved on it, he could have had an accident, fall onto the other side of the road, and get run over by a car coming from the other side. That was my only intention. And that is amongst the last, lowest levels of Iman. But even then it is very valuable, respected elders and brothers. Never underestimate a good action. And always remember that before you go to sleep, purify yourselves and seek repentance and do tawbah. You don't know whether you're going to wake up in the morning, whether you're going to have the opportunity to have another day. May Allah give every one of us the tawfiq to practice upon what has been said and heard, and give every one of us the tawfiq to lead a life of obedience and lead our life according to the commands of Allah and the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and give every one of us the tawfiq to lead a life of obedience and righteousness, and allow us to revert back to the path of righteousness, and give us the tawfiq to reach a level of tawbah and repentance as is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Say ameen. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين. تفضل حبيبي. كيف يا صانع؟